Good morning, and welcome to a special half-hour version of KUNM's Performance New Mexico. I'm Spencer Beckwith. The 40th anniversary season of the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival begins on Sunday evening, July 15th, with a concert in the St. Francis Auditorium, and it continues through August 20th, with concerts virtually every day, almost 40 concerts in all, in both Santa Fe and in Albuquerque, in a variety of venues, music spanning 300 years, from Bach to Mozart to Beethoven, from Gabriel Fauré, Arnold Schoenberg, and Igor Stravinsky to world premieres by Helen Grime and Magnus Lindberg. There is, in addition, a unique element to the 40th anniversary season, a three-day symposium on the science of music and the brain, and the relationship between music and healing. And we're joined this morning at KUNM by composer Mark Nykrug, since 1998, the artistic director of the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival, and by Dr. Cheryl Willman, director and CEO of the UNM Cancer Center in Albuquerque. Dr. Willman has been instrumental in putting together the three-day Music and the Brain Symposium. Let's start the conversation with Mark Nykrug with a look at the musical elements of the 2012 Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival. Mark, I know that every season is special, and we have spoken for the past 8 seasons about the festival. Looking at this season's schedule, it's obvious that you have arranged some particularly impressive elements for the anniversary. One is your artist in residence.
Who for this summer is Alan Gilbert, the music director of the New York Philharmonic, also, thank goodness, a violinist and a violist. And we've had a couple of pretty special artists in residence prior to this, Susan Graham and Dawn Upshaw, but Alan is perhaps even more unusual to get for 2 entire weeks to sit around and do whatever we want him to, more or less. Right. So that is particularly great. And since he's coming, we were able to program some pieces which we otherwise would rarely have thought to do, specifically 2 chamber symphonies by Schoenberg and a very large Strauss wind piece for 16 winds. Unusual. I have never heard it in a concert in my life, and I'm not that young. And these are special pieces for us and would be special in almost any circumstance because they really fall in between the cracks. They're too small to be done in a symphony orchestra concert. You wouldn't have half of the orchestra leave and play these pieces. And they're too large to be done in chamber music festivals or concerts because they involve 14, 15, 16 people and need a conductor. So this is a very great opportunity, number one, to hear these pieces all together, but number two, specifically with the ensembles that we've put together and with Alan conducting and with the amount of rehearsal that we allow him, these should be exemplary performances of these works.
And in addition to being a conductor, he will also be playing the viola.
He will be playing the violin and the viola, not simultaneously. He will play viola in a Brahms sextet, which will include also 4 ex-members of the Guarneri String Quartet, and he will also play violin in a Mendelssohn octet.
And he is, in addition, bringing with him the composer who has been composer in residence at the New York Philharmonic this past season.
Not exactly.
Aha.
I am bringing the composer in residence of the New York Philharmonic, who's actually coming before Alan and leaving before he gets here.
And that is the great Finnish composer Magnus Lindberg.
Correct.
And he has created a piece of music that will be given its world premiere.
Yes. He's written a new piece for clarinet and piano, and we will also play one of his older pieces for clarinet, piano, and cello, a trio. And he will play both of them himself. He's a very good pianist.
I wanted to mention the opening concert includes a world premiere by a terrific young Scottish composer.
Yes. Helen Grime, a terrific young woman Scottish composer, which is even nicer, has written a piece for clarinet, viola, and piano. This combination has a good precedent by another young composer named Mozart, and she particularly wanted to go from that sound, which was a good thought. This is a fantastic young composer who is being played and commissioned by very important places around the world, and luckily I talked to her at least 2 years ago when she was still even younger and got her to come, and she'll be here.
How important is it to you and to the festival to have new music be a part of the season?
Being a composer, I'm talking about survival here. So it's extremely important. There are only two options. One is that you view all of this music as a kind of museum where we're basically in charge of maintaining the performance of old pieces by dead composers. And the other is that you view it as a living art form. And the only way that it can be a living art form is if it expands and continues to bring new composers and new music and new additions to the repertoire. And so it's crucial, unless you want the museum, which I don't.
These new works include several co-commissions, which Santa Fe audiences will be hearing for the first time this summer.
Right. In the financial world of commissioning pieces, it is a great help to have other organizations, if they meet our standards of performance quality and if they want to go in on the same projects that we're doing, it really defrays some of the cost and allows us to bring more new pieces than if we spent all of our money giving it to one composer, which we do on occasion.
The two co-commissions, two very important American
composers. David Del Tredici, who I believe is 75, and Aaron J. Kernis, who is a good deal younger. He's probably in his 50s, I would think. These are very established, important figures in new music in America, Pulitzer Prize winners, big stuff.
Right. Congratulations for putting all of these new works together. One thing that I think is important to note about the opening concert, we mentioned Helen Grimes' world premiere. Very typically for the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival on that program, her work is played alongside Doniani Serenade, Brahms Trio No. 2, C major. This mix is very distinctive to your festival. Could you talk about how important that is?
Well, I really consider the evening. I consider an audience which is coming in to have an experience over an hour or 2 hours. And all of the elements that make for an interesting experience need to be taken into account. So, for instance, this program has three pieces. Each of them are trios. But the trios are entirely different mixes of instruments. So the first one has a woodwind and a piano and a string. The second has three strings, and the third, two strings and a piano. That already helps an audience in that the sound of the concert changes. It's not all the same thing. You have a different sound world for each piece. Then I consider epochs so that if there's going to be a new piece, and I know people have a certain new piece anxiety, I want to make sure that the program ends with an iconic classic piece of romantic music from someone like, for instance, Mr. Brahms, and played by three incredible performers so that I know what that will do to the audience. In between, I really like to put great pieces by somewhat secondary composers. You know, secondary is all relative, but I mean, if you take Mozart, Beethoven, Schubert, Brahms, Haydn, Bach, That's primary. A person like Tohnani, who is a wonderful composer, but not of that level of output, however, has written some incredibly beautiful and stunning pieces. This particular one is a fantastic experience for the audience because it's fiendishly difficult for the instrumentalist. It's a string trio. And each one of them has to play incredibly virtuosic music, which is kind of a visceral experience. I mean, you are hearing the music and it's beautiful and you're enjoying the piece, but you're also watching these three impeccable athletes with no safety net.
Right. And the interaction between them.
The interaction between them. And that is an added element.
Right.
So I really consider the whole evening, you know, from beginning to end, and try and make each concert balanced, interesting on different levels, from what you're hearing to what you're thinking about to what your emotions are following.
For a festival to survive for 40 years and to thrive, as this one has, there has to be a distinctive character to the festival, in my opinion. What do you think makes this festival distinctive?
There are very few festivals or orchestras or concert series in the world of classical music which are run, in this case, rather dictatorially by a composer. And we have a completely different perspective on how to present music and how to nurture an audience. What I mean by that is it's crucial, as I said before, for a composer to present music in a way where new music is essential and where the audience becomes not only accustomed to but actually interested in the new music. The evolution of this audience has gone specifically from, oh, no, he's a composer, what is he going to make us listen to, well, as long as we get our Schubert and Beethoven, it's okay. Mm-hmm. To, wow, that new piece was kind of interesting. To, I wonder what the new piece is going to be on this program. And that's an evolution where, at this point, the distinction of the festival is that we can present incredibly interesting programs to an audience which wants to hear incredibly interesting programs. And obviously, there's the setting. There's the fact that it's summer, which is particularly nice in Santa Fe. The evenings are cool, and the light stays for a long time. And it's a very artistic place, and it's a very old place, and it feels old. There's a great connection to the art world of that community, which is very significant. There's a great connection to the history of the place. I mean, we're doing an Indian market concert this summer where I'm presenting a set of pieces written for a pianist. He commissioned all of them, and each one is a reflection of a piece of Indian art.
Fantastic.
So it's the context, the whole thing together, that is what the personality of this festival is.
Mark, I have one sort of business question for you. I noticed in the brochure this year that there are special prices for not just children, but for young people. I'm talking about 35 and under.
I didn't notice that, but if that's there, I think it's great. I'm always for children. We've always done free children's concerts once a week, which we continue. If young people can get in for less money, that's great. I want everybody to get in for less money, but they won't let me.
Mark Nykrug is the artistic director of the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival. This summer, celebrating its 40th anniversary season. The complete season schedule is available at santafechambermusic.com. We'll be right back to add Dr. Cheryl Willman to the conversation. Look at the 2012 Music Festival's Symposium, Music, the Brain, Medicine, and Wellness. Stay with us. This is Performance New Mexico on KUNM. I'm Spencer Beckwith. The 2012 Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival runs from July 15th through August 20th in both Santa Fe and Albuquerque, with concerts scheduled for almost every day. This is Performance New Mexico on KUNM. I'm Spencer Beckwith. Right in the middle of the five-week festival, from August 3rd through August 6th, is a special symposium open to everyone. Music, the Brain, Medicine, and Wellness, a Scientific Dialogue. Dr. Cheryl Willman chairs the organizing committee for the symposium, and Dr. Willman is the director of the University of New Mexico's Cancer Center in Albuquerque. Dr. Willman, the central idea of the symposium, as I understand it, is to create an exchange between the festival's musicians and over a dozen highly distinguished scientists, physicians, and researchers. Is that correct?
That's correct. This symposium, I really have to laud Mark Nykrup for his vision. It really was his vision. And working together over the last year and a half, it's evolved into what I think will be quite an amazing and unique symposium. And the fundamental idea is, what is the scientific basis by how music affects the development of the brain in a child, how music can be used to heal a person with illnesses like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's disease, or autism, or how can music reduce pain and create a better consciousness in a patient, such as a cancer patient, facing the end of their life. And what Mark and I began to conceive together was, how would we do this? And what we decided was the core thing that we had to accomplish was to get the world's greatest scientist in these fields, but not just a scientist that only a scientist could listen to, a scientist who is at the forefront of these fields but who can talk to the public about their work. And working together last September, we brought several of the leading scientists in the world together to talk about, what would we do that was unique in our symposium? You know, all of us live in silos. These scientists meet regularly all over the world to talk about their science. And what we came up with last September was a fascinating concept, to borrow a musical theme that Mark just spoke about, which is trios. And the trio is, how do you get a scientist that works in this field to talk to a musician who delivers this music, and the new evolving field of music therapy? The person in the middle who translates the musician and the clinical setting to really do a therapeutic intervention in a patient. So these three worlds, the research and music in the brain, the whole evolving field and training in music therapy and music, tend to run in their tracks. And our symposium is going to mix them all up in conversations and dialogues around special topics. And the scientists we've engaged and the musicians and music therapists we've engaged are a little bit uncomfortable about this idea because it's foreign, but they're also really excited about it. And through that dialogue, we hope new knowledge to come forth and new questions to be defined and new initiatives to develop. So we're incredibly excited about the structure. The structure itself of the symposium is very creative. It involves the very best musicians, music therapists, and scientists in the world in this topic coming all to Santa Fe. And yet it's going to be a symposium that's accessible to anyone who would be interested in these topics.
Give me an idea, Dr. Willman, of what a specific day of the festival would be like in terms of what the general public could go to.
Well, Spencer, the way we organized it was we did it topically. So we're going to use this topic of trios, great scientist, great musician, great music therapist, but we're going to do it on a topic. So our first morning starts out sort of on fundamentals. How does music affect the development of a brain in a child? How does music affect one's mental, emotional, and psychological state. What do we know about that? So we're going to talk about music and brain development, music and emotional and psychological development in human beings. So that's sort of topic number one to ground us. We're going to then move into the topic of music and childhood development. And we're going to not only talk about the positive, but how does music enhance the development of the brain in a child, but how can music be used to help children who are suffering, such as children with autism. And in that trio, we have three of the best people in the world, a wonderful scientist from Canada, Laurel Trainer, who actually studies the development of the brain in infants and how music affects that, and a very famous woman from London, Pamela Heaton, who's the world's expert in music and the therapeutic use of music in children with autism. So they'll both be presenting, and I can't wait to hear that conversation. We'll then shift to another topic, which is music in patients with neurologic disorders. One of the people we had invited to the symposium who sadly cannot attend is Oliver Sacks, and that's partly because he's suffering from an advanced form of cancer. But when we contacted Dr. Sacks, he said, "Cheryl, read my books. Who do I write about? My music therapist is Connie Tamino, who will be a participant in our music symposium." So Connie's actually done most of the music interventions with patients who have been stroke victims or Alzheimer's or Parkinson's disease that Oliver Sacks has written about. So that whole second day's theme is about music and how it affects motor function in our bodies. So many people know that the Broca area of speech in the brain or the movement control disorder in the brain, the movement control area of the brain, is right next to the music perception area of the brain. So these brain pathways are all interlinked, and there's a huge body of research now in using music to really help people who are recovering from stroke, people with Alzheimer's disease, people with aphasia or loss of consciousness, and people with Parkinson's or motor movement disorders. So we have many of the world's leading experts in this area who are going to talk about that topic. Our third topic moves more into serious chronic diseases like cancer. There are a lot of national studies that show with music intervention, you can reduce a cancer patient's pain. And they require less pain medicines, which is an ideal thing because of all those side effects, or that their state of consciousness through their pain and healing is better through music, or that chemotherapy is actually more effective given in a music and healing context. So one of my colleagues, Barry Kasseleth from Memorial Sloan Kettering in New York, who's a founder of the entire field of complementary and alternative medicine, or integrative medicine as we call it in cancer, will be leading that section. And we'll have several music therapists from around the United States present their actual studies, their clinical studies, and show videos of their interventions with cancer patients and how music really promotes their well-being and their consciousness. One of the greatest lessons I've learned being a cancer center director over the years, we see 15,000 cancer patients a year, every year at UNM, is not all of those patients are going to live. And so one of the things you learn that's most important is in my power is not to determine whether a person lives or dies. I don't have that power, but I can make that path beautiful. So whatever that destiny is for that human being, music becomes part of that. And how does that evolve and how does that occur? So we're really excited about the use of music not only in healing for patients who have the joy and benefit of surviving, but also quality end-of-life care. One of the sponsors of the symposium, the major sponsor, is Gabriel's Angel Foundation, and that is led by a woman named Denise Rich from New York, and she funds the music therapy programs at Memorial Sloan Kettering. Her daughter, Gabrielle, died a very tragic death of leukemia in her early 20s. This was some years ago, and Denise and her family were distraught. Gabrielle was in great pain, and they brought in a group of musicians from the New York Philharmonic who sat around Gabby's bedside and played, and Gabby woke up listening to music she had heard from her childhood and was able in that increased consciousness to talk to her family and say goodbye, and her family's perception was that she had an easier and more peaceful death. Well, what's the scientific basis of that? Mm-hmm. How do we replicate that for others? How do we really bring that into the healing spaces that we want? And because of that experience, Denise Rich and her foundation, this kind of science, these kinds of discussions and dialogues and symposiums are really important. And so she sat down and wrote a very large check for us here in Santa Fe for Mark and I to really underwrite the entire symposium. So finally, we'll end the symposium with a day that really focuses on music and wellness, not just wellness of the individual. How does that, you know, alter all of our states so we're happier? But how does it affect a whole community? How does it make a community and a community's life experience and quality of life better? So all in all, you can see our concept of trios. We're weaving scientists, musicians, music therapists, clinical experience, patient stories all together, but in a thematic way to focus on topics where there's actually very credible scientific data to say this has meaning. And, you know, beyond all the science, there's this spiritual sense that we all hold, I think Mark and I hold very dear, that these music interventions, this music in these healing spaces is really profound for all of our patients.
Mark, I know that this topic has been very important to you for quite a few years now.
Yeah, it has. Knowing that music is surely the oldest language in the world by millennia, how is that? Why, you know, how have we developed biologically with that constant, and what do we know about it? And I can guarantee that anyone remotely interested in music, health, our brains, who we are as human beings, will leave with very valuable insights into all of these things. And I should mention that in these days, there are also concerts. I mean, you can come and
right.
hear the scientists. You can hear great concerts in between all of this. And I think it's going to be an incredible experience.
We've been hearing this morning about the 2012 Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival. Concerts in both Santa Fe and Albuquerque from July 15th through August 20th. For tickets and a complete festival schedule, go to santafechambermusic.com or call 982-1890. And the festival's three-day scientific symposium is August 3rd through August 6th. And it has its own website, musicandthebrainsantafe.org. Our guests have been Dr. Cheryl Willman of the UNM Cancer Center and Mark Nykrug, the Artistic Director of the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival. Dr. Willman, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And Mark, great to have you here again. Thank you for coming.
Thanks, Spencer.
To listen to this program again, go to KUNM.org. And we're going to leave you in the same way we greeted you this morning, with music recorded live in concert at last year's Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival, Dvorak's String Quintet in E-flat major, Opus 97. For Performance New Mexico and KUNM, I'm Spencer Beckwith.